All right, welcome back to another episode of the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball. And this team is just really, really, really just stressing me out. And I don't know if I can take it. So we'll do a weekly update, as always, with this team. And also, early NFL power rankings for the 2024 season. And we'll take a look at where the Cincinnati Bengals land in those rankings on ESPN. And also, we're going to talk about FC Cincinnati. Their first match is on Sunday at home. Crazy that the soccer season's already starting. It just felt like FC Cincinnati just ended their season like a month and a half ago. And also, the Reds spring training. They're in Goodyear, Arizona, and baseball season's about a month and a half away. So lots to talk about with Cincinnati sports over the next 2 months, and I can't wait. Okay, Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball. We left off last week talking about the Bearcats losing to Iowa State, 25 turnovers, all that stuff. Bearcats trip to UCF to take on the Knights last Saturday. Guys, I did not watch the game because I had other stuff to do, but also I did not want to watch that game because I thought UC was going to lose. And while I was doing the other stuff that I was doing, I will occasionally check my phone on the ESPN app to see the score of the game. And I'm like, oh, wow, UC's off to a good start. 20 minutes later, UC's up by 10. I'm like, what is going on? And I'll say midway in the second half, UC's up by 9. I'm thinking to myself, okay, they should win the game, but this is the 2023-2024 Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball team. They will find a way to bring their opponent back in a game, and that's what they did. And then when I got home, UC's only up by 2 with about 36 seconds left. And then UCF tied the game, I believe. No, I think I got that all wrong. UC took the lead. UCF tied the game. And then I believe UC made a free throw. So UC was up 70. Wait, do I got this all wrong? Wait a minute. Hold on. It was, I'm tripping. I think UC was up by 1. Yeah, UC was up by 1. It was 74-73 with about 26 seconds left. UC gets the ball. They inbound the ball. Dan Skillings inbound the ball. Almost threw the ball away and gave it to UCF. It landed a hand in Simas Lokosius. And he drives the ball, gets the ball down the paint, makes a tough shot using his body, and banks it in. UC's up by 3. And then with about under 10 seconds left of the game, Skillings on the line to seal the win, right? Misses 2 free throws, of course. Then UC had a foul to give. They fouled UCF. UCF made the first free throw. They missed the next one, obviously. They got to get the rebound. And they did, but the ball was in the ground, and players from UC and UCF were trying to get the ball. Time expired, and that was the ball game. Cincinnati 76, Central Florida 74. A season sweep of the UCF Knights. That was a big win for the Bearcats. And you look at the box score for this game. Azeez Badango played 26 minutes. 5 of 7 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. He had 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Probably one of his better games he's played during conference play. Lokosius had 12 points. He played 30 minutes, including that clutch shot in the later seconds of the game. Dan Skillings Jr. started in this game. He played 32 minutes, 15 points, 8 rebounds, and he was 5 of 14 from the field. Jameer Reynolds played 14 minutes, 6 points. Jizzle James played 14 minutes and he had 7. Josh Reed played 14 minutes and he had 3 points. CJ Frederick played 15 minutes and he had 5 points. Victor Locken, who I talked about on the podcast last week, this guy only played 0 minutes. It's kind of unfortunate to see the fall of Victor Locken, but when you're not playing well and you haven't scored in back-to-back games, you're going to the bench. You're going to the bench. And that's pretty much the case for Victor Locken, unfortunately. Let's see the team stats for this game. UC shot 41.8% from the field, 7 to 26 from 3. I mean, they missed 8 free throws. They were 13 for 21. But they out-rebounded UCF by 12, 45 to 33. UC only had 11 turnovers. That's a win right there. After what they did to Iowa State with having 25 turnovers, that's big right there. And then the largest lead for this game UC had was 14 points. And UCF is a pride bunch, so I knew they were going to come back in this game. But UC tried. They really tried to blow that game. So, big win for the Bearcats. Now their record is 16-9 and 5-7 in conference play in the Big 12. So, the Bearcats are right back on the good side when it comes to the NCAA tournament bubble. All right. Let's move on to UC's next game. Oh, boy. Wednesday night, UC comes back home to take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I went to that game with a bro, and I'll be honest, guys, I was very nervous for this game. Why are you nervous, Jesse? Oklahoma State comes to this game 11-14 and 3-9 in conference play. They haven't won a road game at all season. Yeah, I know. But over the last couple of games, Oklahoma State has played really good basketball. And yes, they have 3 freshmen on their starting lineup. But they're starting to find their groove. They're starting to play with confidence. And Oklahoma State, before this game against UC, just beat BYU at home by 10 points, scoring 93 points. But you're probably saying, well, BYU, is just they just live and die by the three. I don't care. Still a really good win against a top 25 opponent, a team that's going to make the NCAA tournament. So I knew that this game was going to be a very, very difficult game. I saw the line for this game, if you're a betting person. UC was minus 10.5. And I'm thinking to myself, Vegas, are you that dumb? Have you seen this team play? At home, especially during conference play? 10.5? Oh my gosh, I would have taken Oklahoma with the points. Oh my goodness. 10.5? Really? If I was a betting person, and if I was working for Vegas, I would have put this at UC minus 3.5. Because I respect how well Oklahoma State has played over the last 3 games. So, while attending this game, UC jumps off to a 10-4 lead. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this team is feeling good. This team knows that, okay, we're at home. We obviously are the better team. I put that on quotes. We should win this game, right? Oklahoma State, they're... It's too much for them, right? They haven't won a single road game at all this year in conference play. And also during non-conference play. So they're winless in the road, right? We jump up 10-4. We're going to win this game easy, right? I knew this team was going to just... I knew UC was like, you know what? Let's take the foot off the gas, right? Credit Oklahoma State. They made shots, man. And they made some contested layups. And they made them. And I just, UC's defense, non-existent in this game. So Oklahoma State, 37. Cincinnati, 32 at halftime. While at the game, I'm thinking to myself, does the Bearcats realize that your season's on the line, right? You lose this game, the NCAA tournament is over. It's over. It's over. So I was hoping the Bearcats will come out at halftime, play some defense, make some good shots, and don't turn over the ball. Clearly, they didn't listen to me at all because Oklahoma State got their lead up to about 9. Then UC came back and took the lead. Thanks to Jizzle James, who made some just crazy... That boy, for being a freshman, man, he is not afraid of a moment. And he gave UC life, he gave the offense life, and gave the crowd at Fifth Third Arena life as well. Jizzle James is exciting, and he's just going to be an exciting player forever how long he's going to stay here at Cincinnati. He's just that electrifying, and I'm just so glad that he's a Bearcat. So UC, as I look at the box score, in the second half, UC was up 55-51. Then they got the lead up to 7. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're up by 7 points with about 8 minutes left. You're the better team. You're at home. You should be able to seal the deal. And clearly the Bearcats did not do that at all. Oklahoma State made clutch shots. You have to give them credit. I was just getting so frustrated because every time UC gets a shot and make it an offensive end, Oklahoma comes right back and makes another shot. It was just back and forth. There was no physicality. It was just pretty much all offense. And UC's defense was just really bad. And Oklahoma State at times were out-rebounding UC. Even though UC won the rebounding advantage in this game, when it comes to clutch rebounds down the stretch, Oklahoma State was getting them, and UC wasn't. Unbelievable. And after UC got up by 7, Oklahoma State, just like I said, making good shots, taking whatever best shot available, they were making them. And it was really frustrating to watch. It just felt like all game long, Oklahoma State was not missing. And with UC down by, I believe, 4 points with like about a minute, 30 seconds left of the game, UC gets the ball, right? And it just felt like there was no offensive play being drawn during that possession. And they took a bad shot, and then I just knew after that possession, I'm like, UC's going to lose. They're going to lose. This is how the season's going to end? Really? Really? You lose at home to one of the worst teams in Big 12 play? Record-wise, they're not playing like that lately. I'm just saying, record-wise. You let a team that is 12-14 score 80 points in your home arena, 80 points. Final score of this game, Cowboys 80, Bearcats 76. That's a quad 3 loss. Remember when you beat UCF last Saturday? You're back on the good side of the bubble. Well, losing to Oklahoma State, you're completely out of the bubble. Completely out. It's over. It's over. I'm sorry, I knew UC was going to lose this game. I'm sorry, I had a bad feeling. For whatever reason, this basketball team does not play well at home in Big 12 play. Do you know what's their record after this loss against Oklahoma State on Wednesday night? 2-5 at Fifth Third Arena. 2-5! We don't deserve that. There have been amazing crowds during conference play. This is year one. And all we get is only two conference wins at home? Two. I don't get how this team is such a better team on the road. Maybe because everyone's against them. It's UC against the world. Why can't you have that same mentality when you're playing at home? It makes absolutely no sense at all. It really doesn't. What a bad loss. Bad loss. Oklahoma State shot 55.6% from the field. UC shot 50%. Oklahoma State was 7 of 17. 7 of 17 from the three-point line. Honestly, it felt like Oklahoma State was... I thought they were even better from that. It just felt like every time they made a three-pointer, they just... It's like, oh my gosh. 7 of 17. UC was 5 of 17. Free throws. Oklahoma State. They were even a worse free throw shooting team than Cincinnati. Yes. All season I've been saying that UC, free throws. Oklahoma State is the worst free throw team in Big 12 play. In this game, they were 3 of 14. Especially down the stretch. All the free throws they made, swishes. Nothing but net. Go figure, right? UC was 11 for 16. UC won the rebound advantage 32 to 26, but it doesn't matter because Oklahoma State got those clutch rebounds like I was talking about. UC had 14 turnovers, and Oklahoma State had 13. Points off turnovers, Oklahoma State had 17, UC had 10. I think that was a big difference in the game. Yeah. What a bad loss, man. But if your season on the line, you lose like that, especially at home. Oklahoma State, everyone in the starting lineup, the starting five, all had 10 or more points. 14, 12, 19, 15, 11. Unbelievable. And for the Bearcats, Azeez had 7. John Newman III has 7. Newman did not play well, especially on defense, who's been a really good defender all year. But I think that was John Newman III's worst defensive game this year. CMets had 17 points. Dede had 10. Dan had 9. Jameel had 10 points off the bench. Jizzle James had 10 points off the bench as well. Josh Reed had 6. Frederick played 8 minutes and scored 0 points. Odia Guama played 3 minutes and scored 0. Victor Larkin obviously is benched. And yeah, that's pretty much the nail in the coffin when it comes to UC's NCAA tournament hopes. You're 16-10 overall. You're 5-8 in Big 12 play. You got 5 games left of the season. UC's next game is at TCU on Saturday at 3 o'clock Eastern. A TCU team that just lost a heartbreaker to Texas Tech on the road by 1 point on Tuesday. A TCU team that UC beat last month in overtime. You think that TCU is going to be really angry and looking for their get back against UC? And also they're coming off a loss as well, too. It's a bad, bad recipe for UC. It's going to be a tall order for them. Are they going to win that game? Absolutely not. And then after TCU, you go on the road to play... Probably if Houston somehow beats Baylor on the road on Saturday, which I hope they do, Houston could be the new number one team come Monday. Tuesday, they go to Houston, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. They're not winning that game as well. And then you play home against Kansas State next Saturday. Knowing that UC can't play at home, and that's not, they could lose that game. And then you have at Oklahoma on March 5th on the road, 8 o'clock Eastern. You got to win that game. And then you end the season home against West Virginia, senior day. And you already lost to West Virginia at Morgantown. So, if you guys want me to put my optimistic hat on, I'll do that right now, okay? And then I'll take that off and be real with you. Let me put that on right now, okay? So, at TCU, that's a tall order, man. It really is. If you somehow win that game, that's big, okay? Because that's a season sweep of the Horned Frogs. Big, because TCU is a NCAA tournament team. So you beat TCU, you're not beating Houston, even though you should have beat them when they were at Fifth Third Arena 2 weeks ago. You play home against Kansas State, who is still, I guess, they have a slim hope in the NCAA tournament. It's very slim, just like UC. But with you, okay, we have an optimistic hat on. You win that game. Okay, that's big right there. And then you go to Norman to play Oklahoma. You lost Oklahoma here last month. So you have to win that game. You win that game, that's big right there because that's a quad one win on the road against the NCAA tournament team. And then you got to beat West Virginia, especially on senior day. You don't, if you don't beat them, if you get swept by West Virginia, I'm going to go off on this podcast. I think I said that last week on the pod. You beat West Virginia, okay? So, you beat TCU. You lose to Houston. You beat Kansas State at home. It's a tall order for UC, especially winning at home. You win at Oklahoma, and you beat West Virginia. So, you have to go 3-2. No? Wait, hold up. Oh, Lord have mercy. 4-1. Oh, gosh. You have to go 4-1 in this 5-game stretch. That is not happening. Okay, I'm sorry. I got my optimistic hat on. At best, 4-1. But 3-2. So if you lose to TCU and Houston, you got to beat Kansas State, you got to beat Oklahoma, you got to beat West Virginia. And then you have to win at least 2 games in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. And then you might be, you'll still be sweated out on Selection Sunday, but you'll still be in the mix for a potential at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. All right, time to take off my optimistic hat and put on my realness, okay? They're not beating TCU. They're not beating Houston. I guess they'll beat Kansas State, but they're allergic to playing at Fifth Third Arena. I think they beat Oklahoma. I don't know. I'm stuttering because it's like this team is really good on the road. I'll say they beat Oklahoma on the road, and then you better beat West Virginia on senior day. So I have this team going, let's see. 1, 2, 3. 3-2. 3-2, that's more likely, but honestly, hell, they could lose all these last 5 games. That would not surprise me, right? That would not surprise me. All I know is that they're not beating TCU or Houston on the road. Not happening. Not happening at all. And that's not me being negative. I'm just being real. This team just confuses the hell out of me. It really does. And they somehow, if they, by the miracle of God, they somehow beat TCU in Houston, will I be happy? Sure. Will I be mad? Yeah, damn right I will be. Because it's like, oh my gosh. Why you guys can't play like this at home against teams that you should win, right? But there's no way in hell they're winning these next 2 games. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But they somehow beat TCU. I'll come on this podcast and I'll take a shot whatever alcohol I have on this house or in this house. I'll do that, okay? I'll make that to you guys. I'll own up to that, okay? All right? You see somehow come out of this two-game stretch against TCU and Houston 1-1, I will take a shot of whatever alcohol I have in this house on the next podcast, all right? Bet. Pinky swear, whatever y'all say. Oh, man. It's February 23rd. It's almost March. And it's been such a roller coaster season watching this team play. It's fun that they're relevant. It's fun that they keep stuff interesting. But, man, it's so stressful at the same damn time, y'all. It really, really is. All right. Moving on. Okay. Cincinnati Bengals. And I talked about early on the podcast, ESPN had their early 2024 NFL rankings. And let me pull this up. Now, obviously, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So, right now, ESPN has the Baltimore Ravens at number one. And for each team, they have offseason in three words. And for the Ravens, they have busy, busy, busy. So the Ravens, this is what ESPN says about them. The Ravens have 25 unrestricted free agents, including 15 who totaled at least 200 snaps this season. That list includes three Pro Bowl players and defensive tackle Justin Madubuike, inside linebacker Patrick Queen, and guard Kevin Zeitler. Baltimore won't have a lot of salary cap space to keep all of its free agents, who combined for 24 touchdowns and 42 sacks this season. Damn. Number two, ESPN has the Chiefs. Offseason in three words, they say goodbye Chris Jones, ? They say the Chiefs wouldn't give Jones a potential unrestricted free agent the money he wanted on a long-term contract last season when he was holding out, so it wouldn't make sense for them to give it to him this time around. It also isn't logical for them to make him their franchise player, so it's possible Jones will be moving on. The Chiefs try to prepare for that eventually over the past 2 years, drafting George Kaklastic and Felix Anaduke Uzama in the first round. But losing Jones would still be immense. Yes, it would. Honestly, Chris Jones would come to Cincinnati. Would the Bengals pay him that type of money for like a one-year deal? I don't know. But the Bengals do have a lot of cap space. So Chiefs, number two. They got the Ravens at three. Lions, four. Bills, five. Okay. Dolphins, six. All right. Cowboys, seven. Okay. Eagles, eight. Texans, nine. Packers, 10. Browns, 11. Rams, 12. And your Cincinnati Bengals come in at the early 2024 NFL rankings for ESPN at number 13. And they say for the Bengals offseason in three words, make receiver decisions. And this is what they say. There are two big moves the Bengals must figure out this season. First, they need to get a sense of what a potential Jamar Chase extension might look like, a tricky task considering the lack of extensions for young star receivers such as Chase. Second, they need to decide if T. Higgins is in their short or long-term plans, which will dictate the use of their franchise tag or a multi-year contract. Cincinnati will have to do the math to see if it can give both players the money they're looking for while also affording quarterback Joe Burrow. Yeah. I think with the franchise tag open for sale right now in the NFL, free agency right now in the offseason, everybody's wondering, are the Bengals going to franchise tag T. Higgins? I believe they will. And obviously, we're looking ahead to next offseason with the Bengals
looking to extend Jamar Chase, which I believe they will. And I really think the Bengals are going to sign T. Higgins. I just think you can't lose him. And now, I think people are saying that the Bengals should go draft a receiver in this year's NFL draft. I could see that happening, but I just see that T. Higgins is going to get tagged, and the Bengals are going to look for a tight end, potentially with their first pick. I don't know. Obviously, Bengals fans want Brock Bowers, Georgia's tight end. I don't know if he's going to be there at 18 when the Bengals make their draft selection. It's gonna be interesting to see. It really is. The Bengals have a lot of cap space. I think they're a top 10 when it comes to having a lot of cap space money. They can sign T. Higgins. They can. I think some people are just saying, oh, it's just the Bengals. No, this is not your same Bengals, all right? They can sign T. Higgins. And I know Joe Burrow wants T. Everyone wants T. Higgins, including the coaches. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bengals do. But the Bengals at 13 for the early power rankings for 2024. Okay. I think with the Bengals being healthy and a healthy number 9, they're definitely top 10. I think they're better than the Bills. I think they're better than the Dolphins. I think they're better than the Cowboys. I think they're better than the Eagles. I think they're better than the Texans. I think they're better than the Packers. Right now, I don't think they're better than the Chiefs and Ravens or the Niners. Or maybe you can say the Lions, too. But the other teams I just list out that I think that the Bengals are better are, yeah, I do. If the Bengals are healthy and if Joe Burrow is healthy, yes, they are. But like I said, these are just early power rankings. So it's kind of fun to see that as well. It's going to be interesting to see, guys. NFL Combine's coming up real soon. Then it'll be the draft. So lots of things to talk about during the offseason. Looking forward to it. And when anything breaks, if T. Higgins does somehow gets a franchise tag, there will be an emergency podcast about it. Okay? It's just a big deal. So, turn on your post notifications as always, okay? All right. Reds spring training. The Reds' first spring training game is Saturday against the Cleveland Guardians. Right now, not a lot of things going on spring training for the Reds. Matt McClain, who missed the remaining of the season last year with an oblique injury, is still bothering him during spring training, so the Reds have shut him down for probably the next week or two, and then probably reevaluate him, and hopefully McClain can be healthy by opening day. It's a good thing the Reds re-signed Jonathan India to a 2-year deal to avoid all that arbitration stuff, so it's good that we have India with the Reds, just in case McClain's oblique does not get healthy by opening day. But I'm excited for the baseball season. I really am. I think the Reds have a really good shot to win the division. The division's wide open. It's not impossible to win it. It really isn't. But if the Reds can just pick off where they left off last year with the success they had, obviously, at the end, being a young team, they got tired and they were fading, but they were only one game out of the playoff spot, okay? Even though they were struggling, they were still in it in game 161, y'all. So there's obviously things that they need to improve on, but the expectation for this team this year is obviously to win a division. And people say, what about the wild card? I understand, yes, I know. Wild card would be a... that would be a big accomplishment. Don't get me wrong. But I firmly believe that this team can win the NL Central because it's wide open. Really is. The Brewers don't scare me. I think the Cubs are probably, I will say, the second best team in the division. I think it goes probably to Reds, Cubs, Cardinals, Pirates, in my opinion. I'm not being biased because I'm a Reds fan. So, yeah,
I'm sorry. Reds, Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, Pirates. I think the Brewers are just blowing it up. I mean, they just traded their best pitcher, Corbin Burns, to the Baltimore Orioles 2 weeks ago. So I'm thinking the Brewers are like, yeah, I think our window's done. It's like, damn, really? So I really have high expectations for the Reds, this young Reds ball club this year. All right, like I said earlier in this podcast, soccer season is about to start. FC's first game is this Sunday, 2:30 at TQL Stadium against Toronto FC. MLS season is upon us. FC, best team in the league last year, lost in heartbreaking fashion to the Columbus Crew in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Crew went on to win the MLS Cup. Go figure. So FC, expectation this year, you got to go win the whole thing, man. Nobody's going to be like sneaking up on y'all anymore. No, FC Cincinnati, now it's like the expectation is if you don't win the chip, it's a disappointment. It's crazy how the expectation has just shifted for this franchise, and it's a good thing. So looking forward to watching FC games as well and hopefully going to them as well. And that's pretty much it for this podcast. Yeah, pretty much we just covered all Cincinnati sports. So, yeah, it's going to get good here real soon. Appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. As always, appreciate my day zero followers. Appreciate my new followers as well. As always, if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, give it a 5-star review. Or just give it a review anyways. I will greatly appreciate it. And turn on your post notifications for any new episodes or any emergency podcast episodes as well. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Appreciate you guys. You guys have a great weekend. And I am out. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.